Well, good evening, everybody. It's Rich Larson here. Normally on Monday night after Mick Sterling Presents, we would bring you one of our locally produced original programs, Out in the Open with the Moxies, The Naked Artist, Geeking Out, or On a Tangent. We have those four shows scheduled to run on a rotation throughout the month. However, on occasion, we have a fifth Monday, like tonight. So we are bringing you a special this evening. Daniel G. Moyer is going to sit down with Vicky Scott of Verbena Vinyl to talk about Record Store Day, which is coming up in about 2 weeks. Hope you enjoy the conversation.
Well, good evening, everyone. You're listening to KYMN, 1080 AM and 95.1. My name is Daniel G. Moyer, and we are here with a very special show tonight called the Record Store Day Show. And I'm here with Vicky Scott, the owner and proprietor. I guess that's the same thing, isn't it?
I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Of Verbena Vinyl.
Right.
And we're going to talk about Record Store Day. And Vicky, good to see you.
Good to see you. It's good to see you in person. Sometimes we do shows together like over Zoom, but I don't think we're ever in the studio together.
No, so this is really kind of fun. And for those of you out there, you might know me from the Weekly List, which airs on this very radio station every Thursday evening. So this is really a privilege here to sit. So let's first start. What is Record Store Day?
So first of all, thank you to Rich for allowing me to take over. This is a very special March show because there are five Mondays in March. So we get an extra show. Mm-hmm. So I got to take over for Record Store Day. So hi, I'm Vicky Scott. And Record Store Day is basically a holiday specifically for brick and mortar record stores. Mm-hmm. So it is only independent record stores, only brick and mortar record stores, and it takes place once a year.
Once a year.
Once a year. And it's always in April. Last year it was on 420. This year it is on 412.
Okay.
So April 12th is when you want to mark your calendars for Record Store Day.
So, and I've been a big fan of Record Store Day for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And it's always an event. Mm-hmm. And what makes Record Store Day special?
The thing that makes, there's multiple things that make Record Store Day special. First of all, it is a call to action to individuals to go out to your local record stores and buy real records from them rather than, because you have so much access on the internet to anything you could possibly ever want. Getting familiarized with your local record store is key. And this is like every year, once a year, there is a call to action to go and do that. And in addition to that, Record Store Day, the company, not the concept, but the company, works with artists independently to get special releases that are only available on Record Store Day.
Okay.
So there are three different kinds of releases, though. So there are, first of all, there are releases that are only available on that particular day. That's the only time they're ever going to put them out. There's ones that are Record Store Day first, which means the artist reserves the right to release them again, but you get this very special copy that was released on Record Store Day, or you also have Record Store Day exclusive. And I can go into a lot more detail about that, but
The thing that I like is you get the list of all of these, and there's all kinds of genres that are expressed here. You can find anything from country to show tunes to heavy metal to whatever. And there's something out there that will trip every single person.
Yeah.
And the variety is incredible.
Yeah. The Record Store Day, folks who work at Record Store Day work extremely hard on the list every year. That is their whole job, is to put together who's going to be on the list, who the ambassador. So every year there is an ambassador. I know a couple of years ago it was Taylor Swift. Last year it was Paramore. This year it's Post Malone.
Okay.
So like it's a big name artist who puts their name across that particular Record Store Day, which means that they have special exclusive records that come out from that artist on that day.
And a lot of these are real limited in quantities. Like it might only be a pressing of 5,000 copies worldwide.
Yeah.
I just want to say, because it's going to tick Rich off, is that a number of years ago, the ambassador for Record Store Day was the 1975.
Yep.
And I missed out on the Philharmonic version of that because there were only so many copies pressed on vinyl.
So that's what's kind of cool. I mean, it ticks some people off, but it kind of makes it into a grail for some people. Mm-hmm. So if they ever see that in the wild, they know they're going to pick it up, or that'll be like the best birthday present that you'll ever get. So it's nice to have certain things be extremely limited and just for that day.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it is really hard to get a hold of records anyway. So like, it does make some people a little bit upset when there's only, 5,000 copies of something.
You know, and from my point of view, vinyl record collectors are a rare breed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it might just be something as simple as putting out a Taylor Swift album that you can find anywhere, but on a certain color of pressed vinyl. Like, this one's a lavender pressing of 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they become, believe it or not, these records become quite valuable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. They become extremely valuable depending upon the market. Like, obviously, Taylor Swift has kind of a market under herself, and Taylor Swift fans are very voracious, and they hang on to their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if ever a Taylor Swift fan decides to sell their stuff, they know that they have that sort of collectible market locked in, and they can ask a pretty good price for it. And that's the case for a lot of records, even old records. I mean, we could get into that, but Taylor Swift particularly did a Long Pond Studio session that is still incredibly sought after. And
really?
That was the Record Store Day one 3 years ago.
So, okay, so you mentioned Post Malone is going to be the ambassador this year. What kind of releases from Post Malone are going to be put out this year then?
So it was weird. I thought he would have so many more, but he only has two.
Okay.
The first one is his Nirvana session that he did during COVID.
Okay.
And it was a very beautiful set. I don't know if you like looked it up, but he like embodied Kurt Cobain.
Really?
It was incredible. So he definitely, and he's done a performance with like Dave Grohl since then. So like, this is an ongoing thing. So he is putting that performance on vinyl for the very first time. And I think exclusively, I think he's just going to press as many as he has. Now, this is not a very limited pressing because he is the ambassador. He wanted enough to go to every single store.
Sure.
But it's really cool. It has, it's on yellow vinyl, and it's one of those ones where it just is such a unique moment in time that it feels really special to have that on vinyl. And then the other thing that he's putting out is a 7-inch with Taylor Swift. So he was on the song Fortnite with Taylor Swift. So they are having a 7-inch together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and that's one of the things. I guess when we're talking about vinyl records, I'm always taking the full 12-inch, 33 and a third RPMs. There's also the whole genre of the 7-inch, too.
Yeah. There are a lot of artists who, because it's so cost-effective, like it's still extremely cost-effective to do a 7-inch. It's usually 2 to 4 songs, and you can get those out quickly, not as quickly as a CD, but quickly enough that folks don't have to wait for your next album in order to buy the single that has been extremely popular for like over a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I think that whole thing is just really cool. Mm-hmm. So
also 7-inches, like they come in different colors. They have different album art, like they're their own little collectible.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that I remember from Record Store Day was that people will go and get in line really early.
Oh, yes.
You know, so depending upon, do all record stores open at the same time on Record Store Day?
So it's up to every single record store. Basically, the record stores take a pledge and we have to abide by the rules. But beyond that, we're free to do whatever we want. So the rules are that we can't hold anything.
Okay.
We can't, directly resell it, like, so you can't just hold on to everything and sell it online for a huge jacked up price.
Oh, yeah, that would kind of betray the whole purpose.
Exactly. And you can only put a certain amount of markup on it. So they do allow you to have markup, especially for, you can sell it online after the fact. So like that accounts for your, setup fees for your website and all that stuff.
But only after the initial
after
people, you know, that are there, and it's Saturday,
yep,
the 12th of April.
So on Saturday, the 12th of April, this is the one and only, like, this is the first time any of these records are available to be sold, and you have to sell them, I think, after 8 a.m. Eastern time, which
okay.
doesn't usually hit me at all.
Right.
So the plan for Verbena, if you are interested in coming to Verbena, is I'm going to request that you do not line up before 6 a.m.
Okay.
For a very large number of reasons. One, it's on a residential street. I have apartments above the store. And also, it's Minnesota in the winter. You don't need to be sitting out on the street overnight. So that's please only line up after 6 a.m. However, after you've been lined up for 2 hours, so I'm going to show up at about 8 and start handing out line cards, which okay. will have a number on them. So I'll hand these numbered cards out to everybody in line, and I'll basically release you. So you can go to Hideaway and get a cup of coffee. You can go grab breakfast at Robin's Egg or Raven's Nest. You can basically wander around with the knowledge that if you show up and get back in line in your numbered order before 9 o'clock, you will still have your place in line.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, there's a lot of times when I've been there, I've just sat on the concrete for
yep.
hours.
Yep. I definitely don't want to create the system of like people camping out, people like getting hurt, like falling asleep or whatever. Mm. And like, yeah, it's definitely a community event, and folks could just go get their coffee, come back to line, stand in line in, you know, and they know which order to line up in. And this town is so mellow anyway. Like I
yeah.
know anybody who's coming in from outside of town is going to like have to adapt, but like if we just can communicate and cultivate that culture of like, this is just a fun thing that we're doing. All right. So we're at 9 a.m. I have someone stationed at the door and letting 30 people in at a time, because
okay.
even though my store is quite large, 30 people in my store feels like a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And then everybody's going for the same things,
exactly.
too. So
I'll have everything set out, and you'll be able to do basically like a horseshoe shape. So you'll be able to look in every single bin and see if there's anything that you missed. Obviously, I'll give you some tips and tricks in just a minute here, but you'll be able to walk around and then check out, and I'll have two people checking people out. And as someone goes out, someone else can come in. I do limit the number of titles that anybody can take at a time to one. You can only take one of any individual record at a time, and you can only have up to 10 titles.
Okay, so if I want to pick up the Jayhawks Blue Earth,
mm-hmm.
You may have, let's say, 12 copies.
Mm-hmm.
I can only buy one copy of
yes.
that, unless I go back to the end of the line
yep.
and take another pass through. Okay,
yep.
Very important.
Yep. After you buy, like, if you are very serious and you've been saving up for this all year, you can grab 10 totally different things, bring them to your car, go back, get in line, and do another pass and get 10 more different things.
Okay.
That's
actually one of my next questions.
Yeah.
Is if there's a maximum number of titles that I can purchase on one transaction, because I've been mm-hmm. to some where they've maxed me out, I think it's 6,
yeah,
and some it might be even 4,
mm-hmm.
And that becomes, you know, so do you have a max number of titles of different titles all in the same transaction?
Yes, 10 different titles in the transaction.
Okay,
that's 10 different record store titles. 10 different record store day titles. If you're standing there and you're like, oh, I forgot Chapel Roan, or oh, I didn't grab Lucy Dacus last time and she still has a gold one, I'm going to grab that. I'm not counting that against your total.
Okay, okay.
But 10 different record store day titles
okay.
at
and
a time.
If I'm remembering correctly, the record store day releases have a special sticker on them. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
So every single hype sticker has the Record Store Day logo on it. It'll say Record Store Day 2025. And I think it even says on most of them, like, April 12th, 2025, so that you can be very clear. Because I do have Record Store Black Friday stuff still in there. And I do have Record Store Day essential stuff in there. So, yeah.
Okay, very cool. I think it's especially great that you're kind of setting some parameters there of, you know, vinyl collectors we're a bit nuts. I mean, you could have somebody that lines up at 2 o'clock in the morning to try to get front of line, and that's like, You know, it's almost
it's not,
like
it's not safe. It's not fun.
It's not.
Well, and the other thing that this does, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, is it prevents scalpers.
Mm-hmm.
When you set up really clear rules that they have to do. Now, does it prevent everybody? No. Scalpers get really organized. They get 10 guys who all go in and they all grab one and whatever. And I can't prevent that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to clock every single person as a scalper. But this does make it extremely annoying for them. And the other thing is, like, that also helps if you're 10th person in line. You know, you still have a chance
mm-hmm.
of getting a Post Malone. You still have a chance of getting a Fortnite, rather than being like, well, I got here at, 6:07 and there were already 20 people in line and now I can't, I have no hope of getting whatever.
See, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think last year, now correct me if I'm wrong, this is your very first Record Store Day that you've participated in.
Yes, technically. I was open during April of last year and folks did drop in and like buy stuff for me and it was fantastic, but I didn't have any Record Store Day stuff. I hadn't taken the pledge yet. And then I did participate in Record Store Black Friday.
Okay.
Which is another section of things that you can participate in, because there's technically two events, but this is the main event.
Okay. Because I know that there was one time years past, and it was a record store up in the Twin Cities. I think I got there at 5:30 in the morning, and I was like 300th in line.
Oh, yeah.
And after the store opened, it was like an hour and a half before I even got in.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing, I think, really services this community mm-hmm. quite a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so appreciative of that.
Well, and these are all tips and tricks that because this is my first Record Store Day, these are all tips and tricks that I've gotten from people who have been doing this for a while. My friend Aaliyah up in Buffalo, she has a very small store and a very small footprint. And she basically makes sure that everybody can go. She makes everybody go all the way to the back of the store, because that's where she puts the must have titles. And then you go all the way through. So you can walk past everything, but it also keeps everybody in line really nicely.
Okay. Now, you said must have title.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you know where I'm going to go with
okay,
this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, of some of the things, and I mean, like I said, that original list is like 12 pages long.
Oh, yeah. It's humongous.
So this year, what would you say are the must-have titles?
All right. This is going to be different for everybody. They did such a good job with this list and hit so many different genres, like you were saying. The ones that are going to be extremely hard to get, that they only pressed a few, is going to be the Wicked release.
Okay.
They did a very limited number of those, and as far as we know, we might not, every store might be getting one. That's how limited it is.
Okay, now, what is special about this?
So, what is special about this Wicked release, and obviously there have been, 50 Wicked releases, which is why they didn't feel like they needed to have a trillion of these, but it is two discs, because the soundtrack for that title is on two discs, and one disc is glitter green, and one disc is glitter pink.
Ooh!
And from everybody who wanted that at my store, it is going to be a very sought-after title.
Okay.
This is the other thing that's going to happen with that title. I'm not selling it.
Okay.
I am going to give it away.
Really?
Yes.
So how does that happen?
So if you are at Record Store Day and you buy something, that card that you had from being in line, you turn it over and you write your name and an email address on it and you put it in the raffle.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So there are a couple of titles like that. I am definitely, definitely, if I get... Asterisk. This is if I get one.
That's right.
I am definitely going to give it away, because one, you don't want the first person in line to just get it.
Right.
That feels so hard.
Yeah.
And second, some folks will probably be raffling it up and giving it to charity, but giving someone a ticket and then allowing them to buy it also feels really weird.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here you go, chance to buy it. And then, it just feels better to be like, this is among the prizes that I have to give away today.
See, that's really pure.
Yeah.
And it's very, how do I say egalitarian?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so it's just open up to the winds of chance.
Yes. Well, and my biggest hope whenever I do stuff like this is that somebody gets it who's like dying for it.
Yeah.
Rather than like, hopefully, if like some person leaves, because I'm probably not going to do the drawing until like 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
If they leave town and they don't come back, I just keep drawing. I keep drawing until someone standing in front of me gets it.
So you must be present to win.
Must be present to win.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. I think that's great because somebody at the end of the day is mm-hmm. going to have that hopefully on their turntable and really excited about it.
Exactly. So I'm okay. definitely working up all of the rules about that too.
So that's what you think is the most sought after. So I'm going to take you through at least the top three.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll give you a couple more that are super sought after. Obviously, the Gracie Abrams title is super sought after. Whenever there's a Noah Kahan title, that's super sought after. The Taylor Swift is going to go immediately. And I'm not entirely sure about the rest of them. I know in Minnesota, we're definitely going to have a lot of Replacements fans. So that Tim album is going to be really sought after.
Okay, so I'm a Matt's fan. So what's unique about the Tim pressing?
So that is on a like swirly purple color. And it's a, I think they called it a 40th anniversary edition. I don't want to get that.
No, that would be right. Wrong. It came out in 85.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. It's the 40th anniversary edition. I think it has a couple of extra songs on it. Not extra in like new songs, but like some live versions and stuff.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Tim was one of those albums. So.
Yeah. It's like one of the best, one of the most sought after Replacements album, period. And I am going to do a plug for a future date. I don't know if you know this, but Chris Mars lives in Northfield.
Really?
Yes.
Seriously?
Seriously.
This is the drummer for the Replacements.
Yes, this is the drummer for the Replacements. The original drummer. And he has had an amazing career since he was the drummer for the Replacements. He also has a painting career.
Yes.
And he came out with a book. So the book is called 7:42 p.m. and the album is called The Average Album. I do have both of those at the store. But he, on May 10th, he is doing a signing.
Seriously?
Signing event at Verbena Vinyl.
Okay.
And it's going to benefit the Mutt Mutt Engine, which is a dog charity. But the reason that I bring it up in context with Tim is he will honor any purchased from Verbena Vinyl.
Okay.
So if you come on May 12th or on April 12th and buy Tim and get your receipt and come back on May 10th with Tim, he will sign it for you for
really?
Free rather than charging the $10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And that goes for any Replacement stuff that you buy in the store. That is the only one that I currently have, but I have vintage stuff that I could pull out between now and then. Who knows?
So, if nothing else,
right.
if you didn't get your copy of Tim mm-hmm. on Record Store Day, pick up another Replacements album or a Chris Mars album if you've got any in stock.
I do.
And then come back on May 10th.
Yep.
Okay, there we are. Save your receipt, kids.
Yes.
That's the important part.
Save the receipt. And I will be telling you this at the register, too. Don't worry.
Good deal.
Okay, so now into what you are excited about.
Yes. Okay, I got to tell you... Whenever I go to Record Store Day, there's always a bunch of stuff. And I saw there is a album here. I don't know anything about it. It's called Sting 3.0 Live.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a big fan of the Police, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, what is this? I'd love to hear this. I'm assuming it's something live.
Yeah.
And he's got, he kind of... As part of his new solo thing, he's gone back to a trio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not with Stuart or Andy from mm-hmm. the Police. But he's got two other guys, somebody on guitar and somebody on drums. And they're basically, he's just playing his material mm-hmm. with that approach.
So on recordstoreday.com, you can look at the entire set list and you can look at the album cover. I don't know very much about it. I just like blind knew that I needed it. So it was one of those like, yep, that one.
See, that's going to be the thing that I'm going to clamor for on Record Store Day. So
you're ready for Sting. Okay.
And okay. So here's one of the questions. When I walk in, I'm assuming that you have everything in alphabetical order from like an A all the way to a Z. Is that how you're going to set it? Or
I think that's how I'm going to set it up. That makes the most sense. The only thing is, like, obviously I have, like, tables are finite, bins are finite. Mm-hmm. So scooching stuff together and figuring out the best way to set it up is probably going to happen in the moment. So likely in alphabetical order. But because I'm letting 30 people in at a time, I want you to be able to take your time. So if you're like on the fence about something, you don't have to be like, at the moment that I reach that bin in the A's, I have to pick up that album. If you need to get out of line and think about it and text your mom or whatever, like, then you can get, you know, grab it and then go.
That's good to know, because I think a lot of times if I know I can only pick up 10, mm-hmm. and I'm starting at the A, and all of a sudden I've hit my 10 by the time I've hit the E's.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
I'm in deep trouble.
Right.
And I always appreciate that if I can go, oh, you know what? I didn't get that Bill Evans album, mm-hmm. so I can go back and easily find that without it's always so stressful,
right?
You know, I hate buying under pressure.
Well, and you get kind of tunnel vision where you're like, especially if you've made your list and you're like, this is what I'm after, and you've watched all of my lives and you're like, I know she has it, I have no idea how many copies she has, so you just kind of start grabbing stuff, and yeah, it gets hectic. But think about this. 10 albums is a lot.
It is.
It might not be a lot for some folks who have excellent paid off credit cards and stuff.
What?
Who has those?
Who is that?
But 10 albums is a lot of things. And then if you're planning on going and getting in line again, 10 more is still a lot. So I'm not trying to limit you. I'm just trying to, like, give you some parameters so that when you do get that tunnel vision, you can kind of make some good decisions. Be like, I know Taylor Swift is going to sell out first, I'm grabbing that. I know the Jayhawks are a Minnesota band, so they're going to sell out here first. So you kind of prioritize your list accordingly.
And it's amazing to me how much your brain turns to fog.
Oh, yeah.
When you're in there doing this.
When you're faced with this album that you haven't seen in years and mm-hmm. you're like, I just need it. You can't say no. And then you get to the car and you're like, oh my gosh, what have I done?
Yeah. And the one thing that I can really stress as about the only thing that really works, at least as far as I'm concerned, is really combing through the list mm-hmm. very, very carefully. Mm-hmm. And writing it out, mm-hmm. having it on a piece of paper, and then most importantly, ranking it from one to whatever number.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, this is just because I'm that kind of person, mm-hmm. I also bring a highlighter with me.
Oh, that's a good call.
Because if I go and see whatever record, the, let's see, Hymns Join Me album,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh, yes, and if I highlight it, that, okay, now I've got it.
Yes.
And I don't have to make the second guesses, because in the event that I've got so much money that I can buy 10 and yeah. still get back in line and mm-hmm. take a crack at the other 10, if I wanted to get that Hymn album and I didn't have it highlighted, I might get home, look at my 20 albums, and I've got two copies. And from my point of view, I always feel bad, because mm-hmm. if I got it, that means somebody else didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I happen to be whatever, lucky, mm-hmm. I don't want to deny somebody their shot at it if that's their number one and they just couldn't get there till noon.
Well, and wouldn't it be embarrassing if Vicky Scott knew your face and knew that you already grabbed a Tim album?
Yeah, I don't need
album,
that. I don't need that.
And then I'm like, Danny, you got to put this back.
No.
And then you got to walk over.
Do the walk of shame out of the store? No, That's just going to be really tough. I'm be like, what?
What do you mean? I'm like, I promise you have this album in your car. Okay.
Yeah, I don't need that kind of pressure. You know how tough it is just to be me, right?
But I think that's a really good Record Store Day tip. I want to go into more tips for Record
yes.
Store Day. I think it's really good to comb through the list, rank your records. If you like physical paper copies, like, that's a really good idea, because I really like your idea of highlighting stuff. But if it, you know, have it in your phone, have it on your arm, whatever. But the other thing that you should definitely think about bringing is a camp chair.
Okay.
If you are planning on getting here at 6 a.m., bring a camp chair, because you will be standing on the sidewalk or sitting on the sidewalk. It will be miserable and you will be sad because it's April.
Yeah. And some of the weather that just... just yesterday, it was snowing in downtown Northfield,
it's
and it's raining.
Snowing right down. Why? Okay. Anyway, so if you have a camp chair, go ahead and bring it. If you have a blanket, if you're a really good survivalist, you'll have a hat and umbrella and all that stuff because the weather is completely unpredictable.
Dressed like how you want to impress your mom,
right,
by going outside.
Exactly. Yeah. Like think about grandma. Think about mom. Like shoving the mittens at you when you're going out the door. The other thing to think about is bring stuff that will entertain you and charge your power brick because your phone will run out of battery. Like absolutely hop on the Wi-Fi, but like make sure your battery is charged. And then what was the other thing? Oh, try to bring like a snack or water to get you through the first couple of hours. Obviously once the cards start going out, it's not going to matter. You can head back to your car. You can do whatever, but those things will get you so much further than, being worried. The other thing is bring fun things, bring stuff to trade. So Taylor Swift really solidified the candy culture in the popular culture. So
the candy culture, I like that.
Bring bracelets, bring bring stuff to share and make friends, because these are your peers. These are the people you're going to see in the record store every single year, and you're going to see them in the record store all year long. Mm-hmm. Like these are diehards.
Yeah.
So you want to make friends with these people. Also, they might have really cool stuff that you might want to buy from them or trade with them. Or
yeah, you're speaking gospel truth, because every single year at Record Store Day, I've met somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes these are the kind of events where wearing the concert T-shirts always. Totally appropriate.
Yes.
Because I've gone there wearing like a 1975 shirt and somebody's, hey, are you a big fan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All of a sudden, we now have brothers and sisters for life.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and it's just simple things like that, that music fans are unique in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing is I do have goodies to give away. Like I have Record Store Day posters to give away and things like that. So it does pay to get in line if you are willing. But if you don't care and you are happy to shop whatever, it's okay to like get there at 9, grab a card at 9, go stand in line and just be chill about it. If you are not specifically targeting anything, if you're just kind of there for the vibe, because you will still get the Record Store Day experience. You will still have fun. Also, I'm trying to spread things out throughout the day. Like I know from experience and the experiences of other people around me that there's probably going to be two waves for Verbena.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be that initial wave from like 9 to noon of everybody getting in, getting through a couple of times. And then the normal people will start shopping. The normal like Saturday crowd will come out. They don't know Record Store Day is happening. They're excited to be there, all that stuff. And then at about 2, I'm assuming that people are start calling me. And being like, do you have this title? Do you have this title? Do you have this title? And likely I will, because
okay.
I am a smaller record store that was able to order whatever I knew people would want. And these are the people who are up at Electric Fetus who didn't get what they want.
Okay.
And it's close enough that they can drive down here in an hour.
Okay.
So
I hadn't even thought about that.
I'll have another bubble after folks start searching for titles. So...
And, you know, the thing is even if you're not into all of these exclusive titles or things like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, Record Store Day is just a good day to go into a record store. I mean, you might just want to buy a used copy of Boston's first album.
Absolutely.
Why not do it then?
Yep.
And it really is about supporting the independent record store.
Yeah, it has become about these very specific titles, but the core of it is just supporting your brick and mortar record stores, learning how to like where to park, how that record store functions, if you like the vibe in there, if you are going to get along with the people who shop there, all of that stuff. Like it is a fact finding mission if there ever was anything, and supporting your record store. You don't have to come to Verbena. I wish you would, but supporting any record store that's near you is super important.
Yes.
Like sometimes like two or three sales in a given day is the difference between me being able to buy records that week and not. So
That's exactly it. I mean, every customer, I really appreciate the fact that you value every single customer who walks through the door.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I've gone and bought records, I think there was one time, I have them both, but I bought the first Boston album and I bought the first Iron Maiden album.
Yeah.
And it was, I think that was the first time I went into your store.
So. Yeah.
And I was like, I felt my patronage was really appreciated.
Yeah, I literally, the store right now is me and my wife helps me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I look into every single person's eyes. I watch them as they walk around the store. I try to help them as much as I can. I try to get to know my regulars. I'm constantly writing down titles that I'm searching for the people who are like, hey, I know it's a long shot and this album's really, and even the rare stuff I can usually find and dig up, because that's all I'm doing all day long.
See, that you still have like one of my dream jobs. I know that you're still looking, but sometime if you ever find that Tony Child's first album, I think I had
asked. I have it written down.
Do you? Yeah, I know that you do, but you know that one. Yeah. That Union album, I'd still love to get that one. That's off to the side. Yeah, so the record store, you had talked about Chris Marz.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. I had no idea that.
I am so honored that he wants to do something. I know it's because it's proximity. I know it's because he very much hates doing public appearances, but he knows that his fans love it, and he also wants to support this dog shelter. Like, it makes sense why he's doing everything. But also, like, his book is so cool. It is such a cool book. I'm definitely going to do an unboxing before the event so everybody
nice.
Can kind of look at it. And his album is so good. So, yeah. Anyway.
Very good. And he is a wonderful visual artist.
Oh,
and I remember, I didn't know that when he left the Replacements in 90 or whenever that was, that he started doing that. And I went, huh? Really? And then I saw some of it, and he's kind of more of an abstract, if I'm kind of remembering some of his stuff. And some of it can be a little jarring.
Yeah.
But I liked his stuff.
It's a little macabre. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
It's a little off the wall. Everything is distorted, but it's distorted in this really interesting way. And it does, like, border on the surrealistic. Like,
yeah.
Big heads, little bodies, things like that.
Macabre. That was a good way. Thank you. That was kind of the word I was looking for. So, let's see. I was looking at some of these other titles. There's an artist called Fred Again. I have never heard of Fred Again.
I think that is one that I
It says actual live, piano live, or two piano live. And I'm like, and then another one, three piano live. So I'm kind of sensing a kind of probably a live vibe theme with pianos.
Okay.
It just struck me as interesting because it was an artist that I had never heard of.
He is a younger artist, so maybe that's why. He also like has a lot of DJ credentials and things like that. So, it would have to be live, right? Because when you're a DJ, it's the performance of mixing everything. So it would have to be a live album. I mean, I guess you can go into the studio and DJ in the studio, but you're so tempted to just tweak stuff at that point.
And the variety of stuff. At the same time, I see that on the list is Thin Lizzy's Jailbreak album.
Yep.
I mean, I love that album, by the way. That's really a good record. And so I'm like, excited to see what they would do with it. I mean, I know that album pretty well. Are there going to be some extra tracks on it? And I like the mystery of not knowing.
Yeah,
you don't
want to dive into the track list.
I don't want to go too much.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's everybody's prerogative. That's kind of the hard thing about if you like to just discover things. It's kind of the hard part about Record Store Day is like it very much favors people who like do the research and make the list and all that stuff. But you can absolutely just go on vibes. You can actually just be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go in. I know I want Post Malone, and I'm going to see what else is there.
Yeah, you know, and there have been times when I've gone in, and I always go through the list, and I make my priority. And I try to keep it to just about, like, no more than four.
Right.
There's four absolutely that I need.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like to kind of leave the rest open to whatever. Mm-hmm. Because I think I picked up PM Dawn's second album that way.
Mm-hmm.
I had already had it on vinyl, but it was not on, I had gotten my four that I wanted, yep. And I think I had a limit of six, and that became number five, and number six became something else. Mm-hmm. And I'm still sitting on some of these that I haven't even opened the vinyl, mm-hmm. you know, yet.
Yeah, I mean, and people do that a lot. Like, I usually get resales of Record Store Day stuff that people do buy mm-hmm. multiple. They're like, this is the one that I'm listening to, this is the one that I am opening, or I'm keeping sealed. Asterisk, this is the one that I can eventually sell when I need $50.
Well, you know, and it's sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes it's a treat for me later.
That's true.
Because yeah. I've got a number of albums that I bought that I just haven't opened.
Mm-hmm.
So it leads to me, you've definitely participated in past Record Store Days. What has been a favorite purchase of your past, of anything that you bought on that day that was unique, or and why?
Oh my gosh. Don't put me on the spot.
I can't do that. Okay, I'll give you a hint. One of my ultimates mm-hmm. was, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but it was by the Ramones, and mm-hmm. it was their 1975 demo tape
okay.
that they had put out on a limited release. I think that it maybe had 10,000 copies,
oh, yeah.
but it was only available on Record Store Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked that one up. And that is probably, of all my Record Store Day purchases, my favorite. Because there's... The Ramones' first album is one of my 10 all times.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were early versions of a lot of those songs. And then there were some songs that I had never heard of before. Because this is the demo tape mm-hmm. that they had gotten signed off of.
Well, and there's a bunch of those going around, even like in the jazz genre. Like Miles Davis just had an album that they put out for Miles Davis that had a bunch of those. Like he was just like noodling and like... stuff that never made the cut, and then they put it on a record. Like, so when you have these like recordings upon recordings upon recordings, it's kind of nice to keep discovering your favorite artists.
The Miles Davis one is a great example mm-hmm. because we're not talking about something that's going to cater to the people that own Kinda Blue and Sketches mm-hmm. of Spain. It's going to be the people that have everything. Yeah.
They have everything, and now they get one more little piece.
Right, and especially for an artist that's passed,
mm-hmm.
like Miles Davis, that becomes a real treat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking about the Thin Lizzy album. Phil Lynott's been gone for... Boy, it's coming up on 40 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear something that maybe is on that record that I haven't heard,
mm-hmm.
that would be really kind of special.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a cheap, cheater way out of answering your question of
okay.
which is my favorite. The couple that I am like blown away every year are the Bluey 7-inches.
The Bluey 7-inches. What is that?
So Bluey is a cartoon, and I carry those albums in the store all the time. But they had a Record Store Black Friday release, which was a very specific one. And it's specific to an episode. And this year, they have a Burger Dog one. And I think when I, like, the delight that I felt when I pulled that out of the box, and I looked at that, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cute. And it's gonna appeal to the kids who obviously want it.
Sure.
And it's also going to appeal to the parents. It's gonna appeal to just collectors of things because it is so adorable.
Okay.
Sorry. I mean,
well, no. I mean,
that
this
jumped
is,
into my head.
This is the kind of stuff that, I mean, my kids are way, way older now.
Right.
And so I missed the Bluey of years,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
So, but I think that really when you're talking about catering to everybody,
They did not miss anybody. Like they definitely tried to make sure that they hit a widespread. They hit the parents, but they also have young people. What else? What else is on your list that you want to talk about?
Oh, let's see. Well, you know, there's this one from Sam Smith who
yeah.
I like Sam Smith.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's BBC Proms at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting because yeah. what a voice that guy has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and so I'm guessing, I know that the Royal Albert Hall stuff, the Live from Prom stuff, that's kind of an event that takes place over in the UK. And I know a lot of bands that have participated in that. So this sounds like it's going to be his live version of that.
Right.
And Sam Smith is just one of those people that I first heard him on I think he sang a song called Latch
mm-hmm.
with Disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been kind of sitting there on my radar. And then he won Album of the Year a couple of years ago for the Grammys, I think.
Yeah. the reason that I was pausing is because I was trying to be like, what, I don't have any Sam Smith in my store, but yeah, they are an incredible artist, an incredible voice, but also like they're an incredible collaborator. So whoever,
oh, that's right,
whoever is in there, because isn't the prom like multiple,
yes,
multiple folks like all on stage together? Okay.
Yeah. See, and that's where, when I look at a title like that, this could be pretty much anything.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't have everything memorized, so I feel like I'm
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
That's so cool.
I printed off a list of some of the stuff, and I'm sitting here looking at it.
Oh, the other thing that I definitely wanted to bring to the front is that, okay, have you heard of the Wallows?
Not really.
Okay, so they're like a younger band, but they love record stores. So the Wallows, okay, more. This is an example of one that is being released on Record Store Day, but it is not a Record Store Day release. This is their... this is the release for their album, More.
Okay.
Like, their new album is coming out on Record Store Day, specifically because they love record stores.
Okay. So, it's not a limited time thing.
It's not a limited time. It's definitely something that's going to be carried at every record store for a long time. You don't have to buy it on that day. But it is one of those really cool things to be like, oh, okay. Like, we specifically decided to delay it because they could have put it out on the 11th, like 11th.
Sure.
Fridays,
yeah, because Friday is typical album release day.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, what else do I want to bring up? Yeah, all of the like current pop girls like Gracie Abrams and Biba Doobie have releases coming out, but also I grabbed a bunch of David Bowie. Like, I know that's going to be a really good one. David Gilmour, Between Two Points.
Oh yeah. Mm. And it's with, let's see, there's another Gilmour that's on there. I'm not sure if that's like a wife or a son or daughter. So, anyhow, that'll be Between Two Points.
Yeah. The Rage Against the Machine is going to
be
really
big. Oh,
that's
right. That's a live thing. That's pretty psych.
Yeah. And then there's also a Cure single that's coming out.
Wait a second. Now, the Cure, what's the single? I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the Cure. And I just got something from them recently. When they put out their new album, on the day that it was released, they did a live YouTube stream of that show, and it was like live at the Troxy, and for a limited time I was able to buy it, so I bought it on vinyl, and it came just about 2 weeks ago,
right,
or so. And so I thought that I was pretty well caught up with the Cure, but obviously not.
So this was a late ad, so it's not even on the list that I gave you. It's like, it's coming, but it wasn't on your list. It's The Alone. It's the Fortet remix.
Okay. Alone was the first single off of the Songs from the Lost Planet.
Yeah. So,
Lost World.
Yeah. So it is a new single. It's not like an original single or anything.
But it's going to be a remix. So it's going to, see, that gets all the Cure obsessives like me that gets us, wait a second.
Where is it going to need that?
You know, that's the thing about Record Store Day is sometimes you don't know how badly you need something until you see it.
Yeah. You see it and you're holding it in your hand. And you're like, it's only $25. Come on.
And see, this is why we run into credit card problems.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that really does strike me, I was having a conversation earlier today about records in general,
mm-hmm.
and this person was telling me, wow, you know, it's funny, it struck them as funny that records are now the hip in thing,
mm-hmm.
that you can't really buy cassette tapes, you can't buy CDs like you used to, and everybody streams, and all of a sudden vinyl has seen this tremendous resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
For sure in the past 5 years, if not the past 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's your take on all of that?
So definitely within the past 10, I don't think... There are many artists who never stopped putting their stuff on vinyl,
mm-hmm.
because usually when you're that into music, you become an audiophile by default. And so you're like, obviously, whenever I put out an album, I'm going to put it on every format that's available.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like bands like Red Hot Chili Peppers and Taylor Swift and the folks who were always putting their stuff on record were able to like carry that through, and they are responsible for like making it a thing again by making variants, like having different colored vinyl, different covers, different for the same album. that incentivizes people to buy multiple. It also incentivizes people to get the one that they really like, or support the business that they really want to support, because there's always going to be a Target version. There's always going to be a Walmart version, an Amazon version. There almost always is going to be an indie exclusive version. So if you are someone who really likes to support brick and mortar stores, you can look down your collection and see that you got every single one of those at a store that you walked yourself into.
You know, one of the bands that really did it for me was Pearl Jam.
Oh, sorry. I forgot all about Pearl Jam.
Yeah, they were big. And I mean, I went through this period. I remember when I was in college in 1989, it was one of the pivotal moments that I remember is Milli Vanilli was number one at the time, okay?
Okay, yep.
And they became the first number one artist that did not have an album available on vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, so
only cassette.
It was only cassette and CD.
Wow.
And that was a big deal. And I remember going, oh, well. And by that point, I had kind of abandoned vinyl. Mm-hmm. I had thought, well, CDs are, that's the thing.
Right.
And so then later on, I became a Pearl Jam fan, and I joined their 10 Club. Mm-hmm. And they used to release 12 inches every year as part of your membership. You got this. And I got one. And I was so ticked off that I couldn't listen to it because there was no way. I didn't have a turntable. And at the same time, it's important to note that one of the reasons that they did it is the Library of Congress. All of the recordings that the Library of Congress has are all in vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
All in vinyl.
Yep.
Can't be deleted, can't be erased. None of that. And so about 5 years ago, I thought, I need to get back into it. And I bought a turntable. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I played was that Pearl Jam.
Heck yeah.
You know?
Heck yeah.
And ever since then, I've almost become kind of obsessive on vinyl.
So to be obsessive on vinyl is, you are obsessed with vinyl for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. You can love it because you love that artist. You can love it because you love the cool, like how cool it is to have that album art. Folks buy records just to put it on the wall because it's beautiful art.
Mm-hmm.
If you become a vinyl obsessive, you realize that yes, it does have, like, the recording quality is much higher, the sound quality is much higher. You can get such a more immersive experience from listening to it.
It's warmer.
It's more vivid. I even, like, today at the Lucy Dacus party, they sent me a CD to play, and I was like, no, I will be playing this on vinyl. No. But the other part of that is some of the records I have in the store are 70 years old.
Yeah.
And they play perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
If you take care of your record collection, you make sure that they're stored pretty much properly, they'll keep playing. Even if the record itself, you can kind of beat that up and it'll still play. Library of Congress is onto something, because that after you buy that record, it can't be taken away from you.
Right.
The way that something that you've downloaded can be lost on a phone, lost on an iPod. I have lost more music that I have purchased because I don't have an iPod charger anymore.
Like, oh, wow. Yeah. That'll do it, won't it?
I mean, my iPod charger, the only iPod charger I have for that iPod is my car. So, like, if I ever get rid of that car, I can't use that iPod anymore. But also on streaming, it is a much more compressed file, so you're not getting the full experience of the music. And you get to sit down with something that people who are older, who grew up with vinyl, are now rediscovering, like, I like sitting down with an entire album. I like hearing what the artist intended. I like sitting down with the lyric book and looking at it and looking at the pictures and the visuals that they put with this album.
The thing that I rediscovered is I had kind of left vinyl when I was about 22. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in my, you know, something 50s. And what I relearned is that when I do this, put the needle down, I've got 5 songs. And if I don't get up and interact with the music by lifting the needle, flipping it over and putting the needle, it becomes a different experience. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm much more integrated and part of the album as opposed to just listening passively.
Well, and the albums that you listen to every time you get home or at a certain time of day, you know, like, you have muscle memory. You're like, okay, I can stir this pot, and then now I have to walk over and flip the record, because you know immediately, like, what the sound is that like what the last song is on that side and all that stuff. Like you develop a relationship with that album. The other thing that folks really talk about when they're talking about developing a relationship with the album is that warmth. But what they're talking about is the artifacts that are on the album. Those little scratches that you put in yourself. Like obviously you.
Oh, that's a great point.
Because it sounds like the way that it has worn with you is exactly how it sounds to you. And so it sounds very bare and stark to go from your record that you have been playing for 10 years and you know exactly how that sounds to listening to it on your phone. And like, it just sounds very like neutral. It doesn't, it doesn't sound like your record.
Yeah. It has a personality then because of your experience with it.
Yeah. And for that reason, I do sell records that have scratches in them, and the haters can bite me.
But you know, at the same time, you do a wonderful job at Verbena in kind of getting them clean and getting them sounding as best as they possibly can.
Absolutely. If there's legitimately a scratch and it's going to cause a skip, or if I sell you something and it does skip on your record player, because some record players are much more sensitive, obviously I'll take it back. I don't have any problems with that. I can't test every single record. I clean every single record and I determine whether or not it's going to play. But when you're doing a visual, this is where it pays not to be a snob. When you're doing a visual inspection of a record, as long as you can't feel that scratch, it's not going to mess with your record player.
Right.
If you keep the record clean and you're playing it, it's just going to add to the sound. Now, it definitely gets to the point where there's too much noise on the record and it drives you crazy. Sure. But having a Boston album that someone freaking loved and played 1,000 times. Oh my gosh. I had this one AC/DC album. It was Hell's Bells. And at the beginning, there was this huge scratch on, like someone stepped on it and slid on it.
Oh no.
Okay. So I was worried.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's the visual. That's what it looked like. I'm like, nobody's going to buy this. I put it on and you hear the, and then the bells come in. I'm like, nope, that sounds rad. I'm literally going to market it that way. I'm like, this looks like it got tossed on the ground, but I swear to you, you will love it.
That's a great part too. Yeah. 'Cause you feel the history of that piece.
That record.
And that's unique.
Yeah. That's unique. That only your record is going to sound that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, we also talked a little bit. I mean, first of all, when we talk about the importance of the physical vinyl album, that it is yours. That's an important thing to state. Just this past week, I'm a big fan of Toto. Mm-hmm. And the last studio album they put out was Toto 14. Mm-hmm. And it was on a label called Frontiers. And it just got pulled from all streaming services just about a week ago.
Wow.
And the reason was the license for it had expired.
Oh. Okay.
And whoever owned that recording decided we're going to remove it from all streaming services. So it's not on Apple Music. It's not on Spotify. It's not on anything. Mm-hmm. And I love that record. One of my favorite songs by them is called Orphan. Mm-hmm. And it's on that. And thank goodness I have a copy of it on CD that I burned into my iTunes library.
Yep.
I wish I had a vinyl copy of it. So I'm going to have to put that on my list of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, what a shame. If you love that album and you only heard it on Spotify, it's gone for you forever. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, Taylor Swift had pulled everything from Spotify once.
Well, that I was going to bring that up. Yeah, Taylor Swift, when she was going through everything, pulled all of her stuff out of Spotify to force Spotify to pay their artists more fairly. That's another thing that...
Oh, that's... That,
listen, the best way to support the artist that you love is to buy physical media. I don't care if you buy a cassette. I don't care if you buy a CD or a vinyl. Okay, end of rant.
No, you're exactly right.
They get the most money when you buy physical media. Point blank. But I am actually a little bit... I'm thinking that this might happen with two more female artists, Kesha and Kelly Clarkson.
Mm.
Kesha started her own label so she could put out her new album. Her new album is coming out July 4th. And it's the first album that she's putting out on her label that she completely is doing on her own. And I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to get it because I don't know how wide her distribution is going to be.
Mm.
Vicky Scott will own it, but I don't know if I'll be able to sell it at the store. But Kelly Clarkson is the same thing. She put together a record label so she could put out more music. And I wonder if, this is complete conjecture, I wonder if the plan would be to pull all of her back catalog off the shelf if ever she was allowed to do that. Because on Spotify, basically to promote her new album, she put a pink spot over all the stuff that she doesn't own.
Really?
Yeah. So when you're listening to TikTok, it has a pink spot right over the album cover. So you know that that is not Kesha's album.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I had no idea.
But, I mean, a lot of artists are going through this. Like, they have really nasty breakups with their record label, and the record label keeps all their stuff, and they try to get it back, and all this legal battle. I mean, we're seeing with the Taylor's versions of every
sure.
of all of her albums.
And, you know, it's kind of funny. We're talking about Minnesota artists like The Replacements and Chris Mars and stuff. Prince.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, famously
biggest,
from all this.
Hugest. Yeah.
And he had his own label that he controlled mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And he actually, he's been gone now for coming up on 9 years,
oh my gosh, yes.
which kills me.
Mm-hmm.
But he really was a visionary mm-hmm. in all of this stuff about owning his own masters mm-hmm. and trying to do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And an artist should always be controlling of their art.
Yeah, they automatically own the right. If they wrote the song, they automatically own the right to record it, which is nice for singer-songwriters. But Kesha collaborated on a lot of her music with a lot of different people. And so trying to, like, some of her songs are, you know, owned by Benny Blanco. So
yeah.
Would he sell them back to her? Probably. Is she going to go to every single person who owns one of her songs and be like, can I buy that so I can re-record it? No.
Yeah.
Like, that's too hard.
So Record Store Day. Again, remind me of what's the time and date of
okay.
this again?
So to sum up, Record Store. This is going to be a mildly long list. So get your pencil out. You got your paper? Okay.
Yes. Now is your time.
Now is the time to write down everything. I'm going to try to distill it for you succinctly. Record Store Day is April 12th. 2025. You can come to Verbena Vinyl on Record Store Day and you can pick up some of these titles. I do not yet know how many of these I'm going to get or exactly what my full list is going to be, but I am going to try to tell you what I have as we go, which means that you need to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok so that you can see me unbox things so that I, you know, so I'll show you the crates and crates and take you with me along on the process. That is number one. Verbena Vinyl. It's at Verbena Vinyl on all of those platforms or verbenavinyl.com. All right. The second thing you need to know is that on Record Store Day, I will let you start lining up at 6 a.m. Please do not line up before 6 a.m. It's a residential neighborhood. I already told my upstairs neighbors exactly what's going on, but just like be kind to the people in the neighborhood. I will have chalk lines showing you where you should set up your camp chairs and wrap up in your blanket. But I will only make you sit there for 2 hours. So if you are I want to be the first in line person, get there at 6 a.m., but I will give you relief at 8 a.m. At that time, I will start giving you out line cards that have a number on them. So if you're number one, you get number one. You're number five, you get number five. At that point, you are free to roam around town. So you can go grab coffee in the coffee shop. You can go grab breakfast at one of our many places that you can find breakfast. There are 4 different coffee shops in town. You will be well served to just wander around. You can also go back to the car if you brought snacks from home, all that stuff. If you start getting lined back up, starting at 8:45, just when it's starting to get around 9, if you're one of the first 30, obviously you need to be back in line before 9. At 9, I will open the doors to the record store. So I am opening a little bit early. Normally I open at 11. At 9, I will be opening on Record Store Day and the first 30 people can go in. When you're in there, make sure you have your list of all the titles that you are searching for. And you will walk around basically a horseshoe shape in the store and you will be able to pick up to 10 titles of your choosing. So one of any given record, up to 10 different records. When you're ready to check out, you come up to the register, you check out, make sure if you have anything referencing Chris Mars or The Replacements or anything like that, you get your receipt. And then if you are going to go again, like you got 10, you're going to come back for 10 more, you can hightail it out to your car, store those in your trunk so you've got them, go get another card, and get back in line. The thing that I forgot is that while you're in the store, you will be filling out the back of that card in order to enter a raffle. And it'll be a raffle of something. Even if I don't get Wicket, I will find something else to raffle off. But you will be filling out that raffle card and putting it in the pot. At 4 p.m., I am going to be drawing that raffle, and you must be present to win. Does this mean that I think you're going to stick around all day? No, you can definitely go. I would love it if you would go around and explore town. There are definitely places that you can hang out for a while. If you want to try to hightail it up to the cities or to Mankato to go to a different record store and try to pick up another title, that's totally fine. Or if you just want to go home and take a break, that's absolutely fine. But if you come back at 4 for the raffle, I will be picking a winner and giving you the wonderful prize of whatever I am giving away. And I think that's about it.
That's awesome. Okay. So anyhow, Vicky, this has really been a joy. And everybody out there, you've been listening to the Record Show Day Special?
Record Store Day Special, the fifth Friday, whatever, fifth yeah. Monday, sorry.
Yes, and you've been listening to KYMN Radio, 1080 AM, 95.1, and we're looking forward to seeing you all on Saturday, April 12th at Record Store Day.
Come see me. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.